Grace and mercy and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We hear the Lord speaking to us today through St. Peter. Don't overlook one fact. Actually, there's a lot of facts that if we're not careful, we might overlook, but this one has to do with something Peter had said just before that. He's talking about, it seems like the Lord is dragging his feet. And at the beginning of this chapter, he talks about how this is the second time he's written. He's warning them against all sorts of false prophets and all sorts of people who are speaking wrong words and that they don't understand what's going on. Specifically, where's the promise of his coming? If God says he's going to come back and finish things, why hasn't he done that? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of the creation. Like the Lord wound up the clock and it hasn't run down yet. And then Peter cautions them that the Lord has judged the world in the past. Just as he called it out of water and separated the dry land from the water, so also he judged it with water and the flood. And then he says, on the last day comes the fire. And that's then the end of the ages. It comes like a thief. But he says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness. You remember when you were little and Christmas seemed so far away, especially after Thanksgiving? Even now, there are some things. It seems like they will never get here, or if it's not a good thing, like they will never end. Time drags on slowly. If you're waiting for something good or if you're trying to move your way out of something that's painful. When we lose a loved one, time moves slowly for at least a time because we're anchored to those memories. And when we're looking for something big, something fancy, something wonderful, it seems that, again, like time is slowing down, like it's all piled up and we can't push our way through it. But Peter says God's not keeping time the way we are. He's already set the time, and in that time, the heavens will pass away with a roar, the heavenly bodies burn up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Another one of those, be careful what you wish for things. If you want God to come back, do you want your works exposed? And as sinners we say, well, no, of course not. But as God's children we say, well, sure, because all of my works are Christ's works because I believe in Jesus. And he has credited his works to me. And so, as sinners, we fear, and it seems like we want that day to stay as far out as possible. We want judgment to be deferred, but as Christians, hurry up, God, and get here. And even as we live in this tension, God already has it resolved. He just hasn't shown us when and given us all of the final details yet. There's an old Latin phrase, Festina lente. My dad taught it to me when I was just a little shaver. It means make haste slowly. Get things done as quickly as you can, but don't go any faster than you need to do a good job. And in some ways we can say God is doing that. God is hurrying toward the end because he wants our suffering, our sorrow, our misery to be over. He's tired of sinners doing things in his presence and before his face. But at the same time, God is doing so slowly and cautiously so that everyone will have a chance to be saved. So that all will hear the gospel. So that all might know of Jesus and trust him as their Lord and Savior. God makes haste slowly in so many ways. How long did he wait after giving the promise in the garden that he would send someone to crush the serpent's head? Did it take for that head crusher to finally be born? It didn't happen overnight. Eve may have been excited when her firstborn came. Maybe she thought Cain would be the one, but she found out, nope. In fact, Cain was the one who crushed many of her dreams when he killed his younger brother. And so time dragged on after Cain and Abel and through all those many years, through the time of Noah, through the time of the patriarchs. Abraham, the Lord tells us, saw these things and believed, but he only saw them by faith. He didn't have a chance to experience them. Isaac the same, and so also Jacob, who went back and forth between being a trickster and a deceiver and being one who would wrestle with God and who would accept God's full promises and who would bestow blessings on his sons and divide them up to be the 12 tribes of Israel. It lasted through the years in Egypt. It lasted through the wilderness as God renewed and restored promises at Sinai and on then into the promised land. It lasted during the time of the judges. It lasted through the kings. It lasted as the Assyrians destroyed the northern kingdom and as Babylon carried off Jerusalem and the Judean kingdom. And it lasted through their return from exile. And it lasted through the times that we don't learn much from the Bible because it's kind of quiet for that last 400 years before Christ is born. And we have to go to other books to see exactly what was happening. We see there were wars and fights and invasions and occupations and resistances and all sorts of other things that we see in the rest of the Bible. The earth in turmoil. God's kingdom, God's people attacked from without and from within. Till finally, when nobody was really looking for him, in he snuck his son, our Savior, in the womb of a virgin, and had him born in Bethlehem. When Jesus' disciples were with him, they asked him in one way or another several times, "Are you going to restore the kingdom now?" Jesus was in the process of restoring the kingdom, but he wasn't restoring a physical kingdom for Israel to be the most important nation in the world. He was restoring a spiritual kingdom where all who believed in him would live and love forever and ever. It probably seemed a long, long time from the time Jesus said, "It is finished," and, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," until that Sunday morning when they started getting those weird reports that the tomb was empty. And then people were saying, "Well, I saw him," and finally he appeared to the Emmaus Road disciples, to the disciples in the upper room, as well as to Mary and some of the others, till finally then they started to believe. And that 40 days must have whipped by so fast, because they thought they had Jesus back. And then all of a sudden he said, "Well, I'm leaving again. And you will not see me until the end." And how many of them were wondering, "Well, it's been a week. It's been a month. It's been a year. It's been 10 years since Jesus ascended into heaven." And finally, John, writing maybe 60, 70 years later, still hadn't seen Jesus return to earth. And people were beginning to think, "Well, I guess he's going to take his time, just like God has with so many other things." God hastens to save, but he slows down the destruction, the judgment, the wrath. You look at how the prophets keep warning and warning and warning. They hope, God hopes, that the audiences will listen, that he won't have to come down and judge Jerusalem, that he won't have to come down and sack Zion and carry it off, strip the temple bare and carry everything out of it. But because the people don't listen to God's slow and patient warnings, he finally quickly and completely descends on them, hastening their destruction after slowly, constantly warning them. "Come back, be mine, repent, be loved." And so now, how many times, in one way or another, have you said, "Let's get COVID over with and let's get back to whatever we were doing"? And it's dragging on and dragging on and dragging on. How many other things have you wanted to hurry through because you're tired of them? And yet how many times and how many things are there that you want to slow down so you can appreciate them, so you can hold them, so you can cherish them one last while longer? Every time somebody lingers before dying, we wish we could grasp every last hour, minute, and second. But then the hurt that remains stays with us for so long. How many times have you had it up to here? Said, "Lord, come quickly." And other times have you thought, "Well, I'm having a pretty good life. Take your time, Jesus. I'm in no hurry." We don't know when that day will finally be, but we know that it will be. And we can let the world mock us and tease us and make fun of us. Where is your Jesus? He hasn't come back yet. Well, he hasn't come back because he wants those scoffers, those doubters, those mockers to learn not just about him, but to learn him, to love him, to trust him, so that they can live with him forever and ever. God doesn't want to drop the hammer on one sinner, let alone all of them. But it will finally come. But he's giving them a chance to repent. He's giving us a chance to get our houses in order, to reach out to family members and friends who are outside of the church, outside of the faith, and outside of hope for eternal life. And God is dragging his feet, yes, but when the end finally comes, it will be sudden and complete. There won't be even a second to repent, to confess your sins, and to get right with God. The time is now. The time that sometimes seems like it's dragging on forever. To trust in him, to love him, to serve him, to take care of your neighbors, your family, your friends, to pray for friend and enemy alike, and to do what you can good for other people. And then, as time ends in that last stroke, and the righteous and the wicked are separated, and the Lord says to those who trust him, come home, to the ones who don't, go away. In the blink of an eye, everything will change, and it will stay changed forever. And then, and only then, will there be a balance between the now and the not yet, between the waiting for an end and wanting things to hurry up, because there's no more end to wait for in the resurrection. And there's nothing we want to hurry through, because every day is Christmas and Easter. Every day is a new year. Every day a new life with one another, and most of all with our God. So as God makes haste slowly to come in judgment, so also we make haste slowly, hurrying to do good, to love our neighbor as ourself, and yet slowly and carefully and cautiously, finding new and better ways to love, to serve, to trust in God, and to be patient with him. Because the Lord is not slow as we count slowness. The Lord is slow to judge and quick to save. May you who are saved live with him in this salvation into life everlasting. Amen. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you in Christ Jesus. Amen.